It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Come on in for an evening of poems and stories about the American West. A land of legend, of romance, of friendship and courage. A motherlode of remembrance. A true showcase of the Old West with the old cowboy, J.C. Halsey.
The old cowboy is here with episode 55 of the Wild West Showdown. How you folks doing on this great day? Have you hollered over the fence and told your neighbors the Wild West Showdown is on? That's good. Now gather around for some great music and fun as we travel this trail together. Let's listen to a young man that sings a mean country song. This is Bobby Johnson singing Love Can't Say Goodbye.
Once again, saying words of anger, trying to pretend we don't give up, just hang on. We're trying to make the best of a love already gone. Heaven knows how much we tried. Neither one of us can never say goodbye. I'll be there for you at every little thing that you do, and I'll help you see this through. Even though we never get it right, love can't say goodbye. We've had our share ups and downs. No matter what the cost, we've always worked it out. We've shed a tear too many times, but the tears put out the flames that were burning deep inside. Heaven knows how much we try, but neither one of us can ever say goodbye. Well, I'll be there for you each and every time that you do, and I'll help you see this through. And even though we never get it right, love can't say goodbye. But no matter how many times we try, love can't say goodbye.
Well, was I right about Bobby Johnson? Wasn't that a good one? This episode of the Wild West Showdown is being brought to you by author Kenneth S. Pratt. Kenneth's the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Willow Falls. If you hadn't grabbed your copy yet of Willow Falls, you probably ought to do that real soon. Now, Outlaws Publishing and Kenneth Pratt has just released the long-awaited sequel to Willow Falls entitled Sweet Home. Kenneth has worked diligently on this story, and I know all those that enjoyed Willow Falls are going to enjoy Sweet Home just the same. You know where to go for a copy, don't you? Well, in case you don't, go to Amazon. Grab you a copy of Sweet Home, and while you're there, grab a copy of Willow Falls. If you've already got a copy of Willow Falls, then get one for a friend. Now let's listen to Lori Lynn singing It's You, the Moonshine. Thanks so much for that, Lori. Born in South Carolina and raised in Alabama, William Travis moved to Mexican-controlled Texas in 1831 at the age of 22. He established a legal practice in Anahoc, a small frontier town about 40 miles east of Houston. From the very start, Travis personally disliked Mexicans and resented the Mexican rule of Texas politically. In 1832, he had a problem with local Mexican officials, and they tossed him in jail for a month. When he got out, the growing Texan independence movement hailed him as a hero, strengthening his resolve to break away from Mexico by whatever means necessary. Early in 1835, the Mexican president, Santa Anna, overthrew the Republican government and proclaimed himself dictator. Santa Anna quickly moved to reinforce Mexican control and dispatched troops to Anahoc, among other areas. Accustomed to enjoying a large degree of autonomy, some Texans resented the presence of Santa Anna's troops, and they turned to Travis for leadership. On June 29, 1835, Travis raised a company of 25 volunteer soldiers. The next day, the small army easily captured Captain Antonio Tenorio, the leader of Santa Anna's forces in Anahuac, and forced the troops to surrender. More radical Texans again proclaimed Travis a hero, but others condemned him for trying to cause war and maintained that Santa Anna could still be dealt with short of a revolution. By the fall of 1835, however, it looked like there was no way to work it out, and Texans prepared to fight a war for independence. As soon as the rebels had formed an army, Travis was made a lieutenant colonel in command of the regular troops at San Antonio. On February the 23rd, 1836, Travis joined forces with Jim Bowie's Army of Volunteers to occupy an old Spanish mission known as the Alamo. The following day, Santa Anna and about 4,000 of its men attacked the Alamo. With less than 200 soldiers, Travis and Bowie were able to hold off the Mexicans for 13 days. On March the 6th, Santa Anna's soldiers stormed the Alamo and killed nearly every Texan defender, including Travis. In the following months that followed, "Remember the Alamo" became the cry as the Texans successfully drove the Mexican forces from their borders. By April, Texas had won its independence, and Travis, who first hastened the War of Independence and then became a martyr to the cause, became an endearing symbol of Texas courage and defiance. Now, let's visit with our guest. We want to welcome to the Wild West Showdown today horse trainer and cowboy poet Greg Patton. Welcome, Mr. Patton.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Okay. Listen, with a last name like yours, I reckon you get asked a lot. Are you kin to General George Patton?
Well, I think if I had been, I'd probably know. I don't think.
Don't think so. Okay. So
I've been asked that quite a bit.
I'm sure you have, yes. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you grew up, and where you're living now.
Okay, I was born in Parsons, Kansas, right here in southeast Kansas. A little house out here northeast of Parsons. And I just live a few miles from there now. And, you know, I went to grade school and high school and college here in Parsons, and I've lived here all my life. And we have a little farm out east, a little ranch out here east of Parsons now. We call it the South Ranch.
Okay. How many acres do you have?
Oh, it's about a 40-acre spot.
40 acres. Pretty good little spot. And
yeah.
You say you're a horse trainer there, but you also do something else as an occupation. What do you do?
Well, I'm a nurse full-time, and then I have the ranch here and the horse training, but, yeah, that's what I do. And we have a developmental disabled people that I am nurse for, and we have horses there work too for therapy for them.
Oh, great. Horses are very good therapy for that type of thing, I understand.
They're good therapy for everybody.
Yeah. Are you married? Do you have children?
I'm married, and I do have children. Between my wife and I, we have 7 children.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, this is Deb and I just got married a few years ago, and her and I got the horses in common, and the love of this little cowboy life, and we've known each other all our life. I don't know why we didn't get together sooner.
Yeah. Sometimes it works that way, but you're together now. That's what counts.
Yes.
Was there some particular event or some person in your life that made you decide to become a poet?
Well, I wrote some back in middle school, you know, and it wasn't cowboy poetry then. And then I wrote some songs with my friends when we were in high school. We had a band. And then I quit writing them for a long time. And I got to start writing love letters and notes and poems to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And she really liked them. And she encouraged me to go out there and share them. And so I did. And people liked them. I shared them on Facebook. And I got better at it and developed the meter and the rhyme. And then I had a book published called Words from the South Branch. And she was probably one of my biggest inspirations, my wife, Debbie.
All right, great. You mentioned playing in a band in your younger days. Do you play an instrument?
Yeah, I play guitar. And I don't play it very well. But I played back then a lot more than I do now. And, you know, we played stuff like Creedence Clearwater and you know, back in that time era, in the 70s.
Well, do you sing also?
Oh, I can sing, but sometimes it doesn't sound very good.
Yeah. All right. When did you write your first poem?
In middle school, I probably wrote my first poem.
Do you remember that poem?
No, I don't even have it. I don't remember it. It's something like, you know, it's about a young boy becoming a man. You know?
Okay. Did you share that around in the school, and did people say anything about it?
My English teacher took it, and I think she submitted it to some kind of a magazine or something, but I don't remember exactly where that went.
All right.
Or if it even got put in there. It probably didn't, or wouldn't have remembered.
All right, you write cowboy poetry, but you mentioned you used to write other poetry as well. What type of poetry did you write?
Well, I just wrote one, you know, that I can remember, but it was just regular poetry. I don't think I had a title to it.
Do you have a favorite author?
Louis L'Amour. I think I like him best.
Okay, how about a favorite poet?
Well, I have a lot of friends I really like their poetry. Stuart Hooker, I like his a lot. And Glenn Hello, he's a good poet.
Yeah, we had Glenn on the show.
And then you had Michael Gassaway, and I like his poems, too.
How do you pick the title of your books?
Sometimes I just come up with a title, and I write something to fit the title. I got to be in a mood for it, and I kick one out pretty quick if I am. Sometimes I go ahead and write it and then put a title. I used to never put titles on them. And somebody asked, well, what's the name of that poem? I said, well, it doesn't have a title. So I started titling them.
Yeah, you know, that's the way it works with authors and writers. Sometimes it just happens, and we can't explain where it came from or how it happened, but it did. That's what's exciting about writing, I think, is because it does just happen.
And it takes on a life of its own. If I'm thinking of something, I might have to stop and record it on my phone. This is a nice sounding verse, and I don't need to record that so I can remember that later.
If you don't record it or write it down, it's going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, you can't remember it later. So, man, that was good, but I can't remember what it was.
All right, do you have a publisher, or are you self-published?
My first book was Red Dashboard. I've got a second one coming out, The Back Pasture. I believe I'll self-publish that one. And I got a third one I'm wanting to put out that's God Made a Cowgirl. I'm sure who's going to do that one, yeah.
How have the changes in the present-day publishing business impacted your life?
Never had anything published until this last November when my first book came out. So I don't know how it was in the past. I felt really thrilled to get this first book done, and it was really a great gift for my mom and my wife.
You mentioned when you got your first book. That was my next question. How did you feel when you held that book in your hand and you saw your name as the author on it?
Very proud, and my wife's very proud of me, and it was just wonderful.
Fantastic feeling. You really can't put it into words.
Yeah, yes, it was. I signed one over to my wife right away, and went over to gave my mom one. And
how do you handle your marketing?
A lot of that's done through the publisher, I believe, but I use the internet a lot.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody that wanted to be a writer?
Practice and write it down and don't hesitate. The more we write, the better we get. And just keep reading other writers' poetry and different forms of poetry and listen to the guys' advice that are writing it well. And I think that's good advice.
You said you've got two books published. You've got another one on the way.
Yeah, I've got one published and a couple on the way.
Have you got a date maybe for the ones that we could look forward to?
I have The Back Pasture. I hope it's out in a couple of weeks.
As a kid, did you go to the Saturday matinee?
Yes, we did. The movies, yeah. We did in the summer. They would give you a free movie like once a week or something. Theater. We even had drive-ins back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People today don't know what that is, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Who was your favorite movie star?
I think Gene Autry and Roy Rogers are my favorite heroes. Favorite movie star, probably John Wayne.
Did you want to be a cowboy even back then?
I've always wanted to be a cowboy.
I noticed you dress like a cowboy, and you live on a ranch. You can't get much more cowboy than that, can you?
That's right. That's right.
And you got horses.
Yeah, and I love the horses, yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite treat as a kid, like candy, cake, something like that?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. What flavor ice cream?
I like vanilla, so we can put the Hershey's chocolate or syrup on it.
Black vanilla? I've never heard of this. Is that what you do? You put chocolate syrup on vanilla, and that's called black vanilla?
No, it's vanilla, and then we just put the chocolate syrup on it.
All right. Is that your favorite treat today, ice cream?
Still is, yeah. We still always have ice cream in the house.
Do it the same way?
Sometimes, but sometimes we buy the flavored kinds.
Okay, great. You're on Facebook. Are you on any other social media sites on the internet?
Facebook's it.
Facebook's it. Do you write poetry every day?
Pretty much. It's in my head all the time.
How many poems do you think you might have written?
Oh, hundreds. I don't know how many.
How long does it take you to write one?
It doesn't take too long to write it. It takes me a while to edit it. If we were sitting around the campfire talking, I wouldn't have to edit. We could just recite it and have fun. If you write it down, you got to make sure it's spelled correctly. You know, there's a lot of the editing takes more for me, you know.
Some folks don't realize that just writing ain't the whole job. There's a whole lot more to it. Has there ever been a time in your life as a poet that you said, I ain't going to do this more. I'm tired of this.
No. And if that happens, then I'm just going to, if I get where it's not fun, then I will stop. But it's fun and I enjoy it.
I think if a person's got that passion inside of him to write, there's no way he can quit. He may think he's going to, but it won't leave him alone.
Yeah, you're probably right. I write every day.
Well, listen, we want to thank you for being a guest on the Wild West Showdown today, and I want to give an invitation to you to come back anytime.
Well, I'd love to. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you later then, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Now here's Hank and Chaudhry Aldridge with the Boots Song.
Yesterday that restless feeling hit me. Then this morning I woke up with my boots already on. I've been thinking I should stay. It couldn't help to run away. But now I'm thinking maybe I was wrong. So I'm gonna blow a kiss in the rearview mirror, turn the radio on and I'm out of here. I've been in this town too long. Try. Nothing could feel as good as gone.
I enjoyed that. How about you? Let me share with you something I saw at Walmart when I was filling up my truck with gas the other day. I was standing there when this big black Ford 250 pickup truck pulled up, stopped at the side of the building. A young man got out, walked up to the ice containers, opened the door, grabbed two bags of ice and carried them back to his truck. He then returned and grabbed two more bags, taking them back to his truck. I watched as he opened the bags and dumped them into his cooler. Then I watched as he climbed into his truck and drove off. Now I know that ice didn't cost all that much. In fact, the price on the door said $1.47 a bag. But something about this didn't set well with me. I went inside to tell the clerk about the incident, but there was a long line of folks, and by that time I saw the back end of the truck pulling onto the main road, so I left without saying anything. What really bothers me about this is that jerk stole ice from a store and therefore caused folks like me to have to pay extra for things that I buy because the store has to make up for the loss. This little story reminds me of the time I was in Walmart waiting for somebody to come process my online order. I saw this young kid go into the bathroom carrying a couple of toys. In a few minutes, the kid comes back out tucking his shirt tail in and no toys in his hands. When a clerk finally showed up to wait on me, I told him about the kid. "Yeah," he said, "it happens a lot, and we aren't allowed to do anything about it. We aren't even allowed to approach them. You know, when I was a kid and somebody did something like that, that person would go to jail after they were roughed up by the store owner. What's wrong with our world when we seem to encourage delinquency?" Well, that's enough of that, I reckon. Here's Jason Allen singing, "Let Me Prove It to You."
I've been watching you all night long. I can tell you're not having fun. Sitting at the bar with a broken heart over what someone has done. Put your smile on upside down. Who'd go and make you blue? Baby, I can right side up your frown. Just let me prove it to you. Let me prove it, just let me prove it to you.
Now, I reckon y'all gotta agree, don't you? We got some great country music on the Wild West Showdown. Thanks for sharing with us, Jason. I noticed on Facebook the other day there was a new author. So, as usual, I went to Amazon to check out who his publisher was. Now, I'm not going to call them by name, but I will say they should be ashamed of taking this person's money the way they did. I cannot emphasize enough to all prospective authors, please do not let some so-called publishing company rob you by selling you a package. If I'm reading their prices correctly, it probably costs this author close to $1,500 for them to publish his book. Then a little further down in the fine print, I read where it cost $30. Yes, it cost $30 for them to mail a proof of his book to him to okay it. $30 to receive a proof of your book. Also, how to submit a book. The author must send a formatted and edited manuscript with cover, and then the author must do his own marketing. Why? Why, I ask, would a person sign a contract with somebody like that? I realize, and believe me, I do realize how much you want your book published. But listen, it does not. Now let me repeat that. Listen to me. It does not cost anything to publish a book, and anybody can do it. Let me say that again. It does not cost anything for anybody to publish a book. The part that costs something is the marketing of your book, and this unscrupulous company wants to take your money and have you do your own marketing. Outlaws Publishing don't have any kind of package for an author. As I've said many times in the past, Outlaws Publishing is here to help and not take your hard-earned money. I've also said in the past, even if you don't sign with us, we're still here to help you. I talk with many authors, and I hear many, many of these sad stories of publishing companies taking advantage of them. How do I get the word out that Outlaws Publishing and its subsidiaries are not part of that group? Again, we're here to help. We encourage any author to check us out before you sign with a publisher that wants money from you. And I've said this in the past, but I think it bears repeating. Now listen close so there's no misunderstanding. It does not cost anything to publish a book or books. If a publisher wants money from you, then you definitely need to keep searching. But if you don't want to continue to search, then by all means, check out OutlawsPublishing.com. And I said it before, even if you don't sign with us, we're still here to help you in your endeavor to get your book published. Do you recall that passion you had when you were writing your story and then the feeling you had when you saw your name as the author? Well, that's the passion that I have about helping other authors. And when I see one or more of the Outlaws authors as bestsellers on Amazon, I get that same feeling as I did when I held my first book in my hands. Which, by the way, some of the Outlaws authors are in that coveted spot on Amazon. That's a great feeling as a publisher to see his authors being successful like that. Why do I keep telling you this every week? Because you could be one of those authors that joins that list. You could be a bestseller. Maybe you need a little help. Outlaws Publishing is here to help. If you do need help, or if you just want to talk, then why not send an email to jc@outlawspublishing.com or jc@theoldcowboy.net. Now hunker up a little closer for some cowboy wisdom. You can't keep trouble from visiting, but you don't have to offer it a chair. This is the Old Cowboy saying adios and happy trails.
Come on back next week to the Wild West Showdown with the Old Cowboy, J.C. Holsey.